Okay, now part three, discussing issues related to chasanas. I want to discuss something a little bit off the beaten path tonight, and Belineda will come back to discuss some very practical halachah lemaisas, specifically for fathers of chasanim, that you might want to know if you're marrying off a son in the near future, some very important halachas to know about with regard to the purchasing of the ring, and some very interesting shayla that you can't even dream of actually happened. And we'll see how Rav Asher Weiss deals with it. A fascinating shayla about a ring. Hopefully get to a little later this evening. But before that, I want to discuss a little bit about an interesting minhag that became almost a halacha today in Klal Yisrael. And we're going to try to figure out where it all comes from, what's it all about. If you ever speak to a young married, an engaged couple before the chasana, so they all know that there's some halacha somewhere that says that it's a iser derayis, a chayik v'layavra under any circumstances for them to see, talk to each other the week before the chasana. Lashon hara is okay. But if Chasan and Kal talk to each other a week before the chasana, you're in trouble. Where does this all come from? What's it all about? And is it one of those things that are a mistake and perhaps shouldn't be done? So, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky in his Sefer Emes LeYaakov on Evan Ezra, number one, writes, Minog nochenu, it's a proper custom. Sha'chasan v'hakal lo yitru ze imze shvua yomim kaidim hachasana. It's a good custom, says Rabbi Yaakov, that the Chasan and Kal don't see each other the week before the chasana. The question is why? Where does this come from? What is it all about? I did come across an interesting article from the OU by Rabbi Dr. Ari Zivotofsky. He wrote an interesting article about this. And he points out that Svardim don't have this halacha. I reached out to a Svardi Rav of mine and I asked him, is that so? Svardim don't have this halacha? So his response to me was, yesh v'yesh. Some Svardim do, some Svardim don't. So it's not clear about the Svardim. What about the Chassidim? So if you look in the Satmar Svarim, it's not Negev because they don't see each other even before, a week before the Chasana. If you look in the real Chassidish Svarim, I'm not even kidding, if you look in the Svarim from the Satmars, they don't see each other from after, they see each other once or twice, they don't see each other till the Chasana again. They won't even meet at family Chasanas. Keep in mind, some of them are actually family. They often marry their cousins. So they have very often family Chasanas. They will not... The Satmar Rebbe held, they're not allowed to be in together under the same roof in any room until they get married. As I held the Satmar Rebbe. So for the Chassidim, this is obsolete. They never see each other. So we just made this a little smaller group of people. We have the Litvish community who are not to see each other during the engagement. And the question is, what's this thing about a week before? They don't see each other a week before the Chassidim. What is this all about? So many people attribute it to a halacha that is actually a halacha on the books. In your day, if you look at number two, there's a halacha in the middle of Hilchas Nida, an interesting halacha. The halacha says, the Mechaber brings down, it's based on the Gemara, that Tavu li nase v'nespaisa. If a girl is asked to be married and she agrees, so tzricha leishiv zaynikim. Right away, every girl, the moment she agrees to get married and she sets a date for the chasana, she automatically becomes tame and she needs to have a process of becoming tar. Why, says the Shulchan Aruch, bein gedoy lebein ktana, whether she's an adult or even a minor who normally doesn't get regular periods. Even though right away when her husband, when her soon-to-be husband asked her to get married, she checked herself and she says no blood, still. There's a new tumah called dam chimud, anticipation. The excitement of getting married and hearing you're going to get married creates a lady to bleed. The Pesachei Tshuva quotes on the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch, even if she's a lady who's musulak is dam. Let's say you have a couple who's getting remarried and the woman is way beyond any time of getting a period. She still has to go to the mikvah before she gets married. Why? Not because of dam nida, but because of dam chimud. Dam chimud is the anticipation of getting married. She needs to, that creates dam. What type of dam is it? The Raisa, the Rabbanan? A very big discussion amongst the Rishayim. Reb Shmuel Vosner has an interesting tshuva where he says, what is the chimud about? Is the chimud about getting married or is the chimud about having a relationship, having relations? So he says, what's the nafkimina? He says, let's say you take a very religious girl and she knows she's getting married, but she has no idea what being married really means. So you give her, she has her 7 clean days, and night before the chasana, she sits down with her mother and they give her the speech and she realizes, oh wow, that's what it means. And now she realizes it's a whole new experience. So Reb Shmuel Vosner wants to know, maybe she has to sit another 7 clean days because now she has a new dam chimud. Because now she realizes what being married really means. She just knew she was getting married, so she'd be out of the shidduch scene. And then she realizes, oh, being married means you do that and this, and you know. So he has a shaila about that. Reb Nissen Karel, it's in the Sefer, thinks no. Dam chimud is included in getting married, not so much in having a relationship, a physical relationship. So there are those who want to attribute that the reason why Chasan and Kala can't see each other a week before the chasana is because of this problem. They're going to see each other a week before the chasana. What's going to happen? Perhaps the excitement excitement of the seeing her chasen, even though she's seen him probably quite a few times over the engagement, but there's some new excitement that's going to trigger Dam Chimud, and that's going to ruin the 7 clean days. It's going to have a creator have to sit another 7 clean days. So this is why we keep the chasen and the kal away from each other. Now, the problem with that logic is that's not what the Shulchan Aruch says. It doesn't say every single time you see your fiancé, we're worried you're going to come. It's when you set the day 3 months ago. You already sent out the invitations. You even got the response of the invitations from everyone. So what, just because you're going to see each other? But there is an interesting shayla in the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer talks about, let's say you had a real prearranged marriage where you didn't even see each other. So we know as Jews, Gemara Paschal, you're not allowed to get married unless you see her before the Chasana. But this couple never met once, and the first time they were going to see each other was the day before the Chasana. So the shayla tied it to the Chassam Sofer, no, that's Aser. That's Dam Chimud. That's a real excitement. She has never seen this guy her whole life. She knows she's marrying him. This is the first time she's going to see him. That's going to create Dam Chimud. So the Chassam Sofer disagrees. He says, what are you talking about? That's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara doesn't say because you see someone that you're excited about creates Dam Chimud. And we paskin, like the Darkei Tshuva writes, we paskin like the Chassam Sofer. So if we paskin like the Chassam Sofer, so seeing someone that you're excited to see doesn't create Dam Chimud, so where's the Dam Chimud over here? Why should the fact that you're going to see the guy who you saw last night, and you saw him 2 weeks ago, and you saw him last month, and now I'm going to see him, I'm all of a sudden going to create Dam Chimud? Where does that come from? So as Rabbi Forrest points out in the Sefer, this is a very hard sell to assume it comes from Dam Chimud. So if so, says Rabbi Forrest, why did this become widespread custom? He says, because it's a really nice idea. It's a very healthy idea for a chasana kala, a week before the chasana, to take a little bit of a break from each other, just to take a little bit of time out. This way they can focus on each other. But from a halachic standpoint, says Rabbi Forrest, it's hard to figure out where from halacha this comes from. If you just take a quick turn to the back on page 4, so I found some other interesting sources. It's hard to find sources about something that's not really a halacha, right? It's a difficult thing to do. So if you look in the back over here, I found a sefer called Yismach Lev, where he quotes from Reb Shlomo Zalman Orbach. He writes, "V'hoyre morin agoyin Reb Shlomo Zalman Orbach shebeshvu azeh mishtadlim lehisrachik echad nasheni." The week before the chasen, we try to keep them away from each other. Ulechein af the telephone layidabru. So even the telephone is aser, and every chasen has a shayla: can you text? Can you email? This, that, and the other. So Reb Shlomo Zalman said telephones are out. Ulechasen echad shekalasim mechutz laaretz by regilim the daver be telephone midei pam. Let's say they had an international relationship. One of them, they never really saw each other at all. They always spoke via telephone. So pam hayi rabbeinu sheshvu achar koyd machasino shvu echad koyd machasino laidaber af be telephone. Okay. Ulam hoysef marin agarim shabbos zamin shem yitzarich ledvarim achreichim. If there's a need to talk something important, you can even meet v'lei rak by telephone and not only speak on the telephone. And he writes in parentheses, ha'isha ina isuri hana b'shvuzeh. She doesn't have a status of something of usher. She's not usher during this week. There's a minute not to speak. There's a famous joke. They say that a chasna kala once went down for their marriage license by the city to get a marriage license, and it was during the week before the chasna. So you're not allowed to look at each other. So they're sitting opposite each other, and the person running it says, you know, with all due respect, if you guys don't like each other that much, you don't have to get married. Why are we doing this? You guys look like you can't stand each other. The answer was they were trying to fulfill this idea. I was once involved with a couple that was having shalom bayis issues even before they got married. So I told the couple, so let's meet together. They told me, what do you mean? We're not allowed to see each other the week before the chasana. I said, you guys should come see me the week before the chasana because we got to figure things out before it's too late. So this is Reb Shlomo Zalman's opinion. They asked Reb Chaim Kanievsky, number 3C, Omdom shalti lagoyin Reb Chaim Kanievsky. We asked Reb Chaim Kanievsky, the gabi mashen nogim shonifkosh machasim akal b'shul shkadman. So in the minog that the chasim akal don't meet up. Haim yichayim lahim l'shoach b'telephone. So Reb Shlomo Zalman said no telephone. They asked Reb Chaim Kanievsky. You know what he answered? Veishiv liagrach shlita shemutter. Chaim Kanievsky said the telephone is allowed. That was the opinion of Reb Chaim. That is the opinion of Reb Chaim Kanievsky. The stipler in 3D, the Chaim Kanievsky's father, was also asked to Shaila Bini. The author of the Sefer Archas Rabbeinu was a Yid named Rabbi Horowitz. He was very close with the stipler, was his Rebbe. So he writes, my son asked the stipler, Ad Mosa Yochel HaChosn Yipogei Shem HaKal HaSom L'Chasnusim. How long can the Chosn HaKal HaLa spend time with each other before the Chasna? V'oyim Eloi Ma'ivi Rebbe Toiv LaHavsing LaHavgish Ma'ashayus HaMuktum. It's a good idea to stop a little earlier. The Kosev B'Nesei Kedim Shol Shulchan Aruch Sheshvuim B'Fnei Chasna La'iv Gishu. 2 weeks. I don't know what Noisei Kalem he's referring to, but 2 weeks before the Chasana. Aidekin you lahem chayim toivim u'sharim achanasun. He'll ensure you'll have a happy life after the Chasana. You should tell the Kala that it's a good time to take a break 2 weeks before the Chasana. They quote over here from Reb Shach. Reb Shach said sometimes when Chassan and Kala spend too much time together, they get themselves into trouble because they run out of things to be busy with and they end up picking petty fights. And because they don't really have a serious relationship, they end up getting themselves into trouble. So his time, they suggested sometimes spending too much time is not a good idea. But let's be honest, at the end of the day, this is merely a minute. This article that I mentioned from Rabbi Dr. Avi Ari Zevatovsky, he tainas that Ephraim Greenblatt told him that Ephraim Greenblatt was marrying off a son, and he went to Rav Moshe, who was his Rebbe, with the Chassan and with some other siblings and the Kala's parents. And Rav Moshe said, "Where's the Kala?" He said, "Rebbe, it's a week before the Chassan." He said, "Well, that's bogus. That's made up. Next time you marry for a kid, I want the Chassan and the Kala both be here together within the week." So Rav Moshe apparently held that's not a thing. Rabbi Yaakov was very makbid on it. They say Rabbi Yaakov was very into it. He also quotes in that same article that Rabbi Soloveitchik thought that's not accepted custom, and therefore he thought it is no problem for Chassan and Kala to see each other. Then he quotes a story with Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik, where a fellow tells his Rebbe that his Kala has no way to get to the Chassan. He says, "So you the Chassan, take her to the Chassan." This is very negay if you want to take pictures before the chuppah. And many people don't take pictures before the chuppah. Why not? Because you're not allowed to see each other before the chuppah. Al zeh anudon, and this is what we're debating. So I know there are numerous rabbanim today that do permit it, the taking of the pictures before, because again, this whole thing is—it's not really. That's right, right. They write. That's what they said. He said b'shem Rav Moshe in the article. Rav Moshe thought if it's going to save people time, Rav Moshe was talking about taking pictures before the chasana. It could save a lot of people a lot of time. So therefore, there is perhaps room to be makel. But again, I wouldn't go. Let's do Badafka that way. Oh, well. Yeah, so again, I'm not, I happen to think it's a nice minute. I think it's good for everyone to clear their mind a little bit. But I think sometimes we go a little, sometimes too far with these things. But it's a question where exactly this minute comes from. But then you speak to any young, you know, engaged couple, they know this, like, you know, it's the 11th of the Aseret HaDibros, you know, they forget the first couple that for some reason engaged couples think there's no Isur Yichud when you're engaged. That's not true. That's a big problem. So they forget that halacha, but the week before that they all know. But it's, all kidding aside, I think it's a nice thing to keep in mind. But at the end of the day, it's probably only a minute, but it's a minute toif. I think it's something that if all bets are equal, one should try to be makbeda. So I mentioned in the beginning that in this article he says that it's not by Sfarim. I asked the Sfaradi Rav that I know. He told me yesh v'yesh. That was his response to me. But in the article, his Rabbi Doctor writes, it's the Sfarim don't do it. But I saw it in Yalkut Yosef. I did see it there. So that's why I asked this Sfaradi Rav. He told me yesh v'yesh. So I asked him, so what do you tell people? He tells people it's a good idea, which I agree. I think it is a nice idea. To what degree? You know, people have shailas where Nebuch tragedy happens within the week and the chassam won't call up the kala and ask her how she's doing because we're not allowed to talk. You know, sometimes you got to be smarter and you have to realize what's important and what's not important. Okay. Let's talk about another interesting shaila that comes up at a chassana. Why do you ever make a shachiyanu? Why doesn't the chassam make a shachiyanu under the chuppah? Why doesn't he make a shachiyanu? This is the first time he's doing a mitzvah. This is the first time he's making a big purchase. You know, if you buy a new object, right, this is at least equivalent to that. Why is there no shachiyanu? So there's a shach in Yerodea number 4. The shach in Yerodea in Simon Chav Ches writes, V'chein eim evorchim shachiyanu al kedusha isha. We do not recite a shachiyanu on kedushin, oy nesuehu or on nesuin. The shach over in Yerodea is commenting on the Ramah that's talking about something that has nothing to do with marriage. It's actually talking about shechita. The Ramah says in Shulchan Aruch that when you do shechita for the first time, you don't make a shachiyanu. Why? Because it's painted the animal. But when you do kisei hadam, when you cover the blood, which is a mitzvah, you make a shachiyanu. So the shach over there is a long discussion. When do we say shachiyanu and when we don't say shachiyanu? So middle of that shach, towards the end of the shach, he writes, oh, what about when you get married? He says we don't. Why? Because the Ma'arik says you don't. Now, if you look up that Ma'arik, which I did, he doesn't really give you much of a reason. He just says, you don't. One of his examples of when you don't make a shachiyanu is bir chametz, which we have spoken about in the past. Maybe we will again this year, Pesach. That's one of the times that that's a mitzvah, and we don't say shachiyanu. Why not? So there the easy reason is because you're not happy. You're getting rid of a lot of stuff. If a person burns his chametz properly, he could be losing hundreds, if not thousands of dollars of things. It's very hard to say, I'm thrilled to be here. Chasana, we'd like to believe you're a little happier to be doing. Although it's costing you. There's a lot of money involved also, right? Today's chasanas are definitely costing you a lot. So the shach says we don't. But the question is why? Why don't we? So I found over here a gewaldig halachas ketanis. The halachas ketanis is written by Rabbi Yisrael Yaakov Chagiz. He lived in the 1600s. And he writes the following statement. He says, again, I apologize for the old print, but again, it was written in the 1600s. So he writes like this. He was asked in a letter about Shehanoisi Isha Yocholoi Mashachianu, that with regard to when you get married, you'll ask Shechianu. So he says, Ukishasholu, Espi Harav Orshraga. Apparently, there was a god who lived in the 1600s. His name was Orshraga. That's a pretty cool name. And they asked him, Omar, he said, Hayesh Loima Lisho, you should tell the questionnaire, Im Oimir Dayano Emes. Wow. Right? This is a pretty strong statement, right? So this Or Shraga, I don't know who he was, but again, he lived in the time of Rabbi Yisrael Yaakov Chagiz. We're talking about the 1600s. So his response back to the questioner was, maybe instead of saying Shechiyanu, you should say Dayanu Emes. Now, we know Dayanu Emes is only recited upon sad occurrences. So what did he mean by this? So obviously, we can't let it sit like this, because this would sound really bad. So if you look at the sefer called Hachup of Anasuin, there are many svarim written today, contemporary svarim on marriage. So one of them is called Hachup of Anasuin. So he writes on the footnote, he says, you can't just let this piece just hang like that. That sounds terrible. That's what marriage is. So he says, no, let me explain. Number six, he writes, V'yesh l'hazber is kavanah. So I'm going to explain to you what this Or Shraga meant. This sounds like a great start to a Sheva Brachas Drasha. Remember this shtickle Torah from the Halachas Katanas before you speak at a Sheva Brachas. So he writes, V'yesh l'hazber is kavanah. Kivin she'etzim anasu maskirim imiktas is yoyim ha'movis. We know that part of, there's a connection between the day of chasana and the day of death. That's why one of the pshatim why we wear kittels, to remind you, whenever there's the most extreme simcha, we always have to counteract it, counterbalance it with misa. Like Lel Seder, whenever there's so much joy, we always want to remind ourselves that death is there. So Shemekivit Shiyei, the Adam Shasef Eloma, since a person knows he's going to die, Al Kei Noisi Isha Kdei Shilei Bonim. So that's why he marries a lady, so he should have children. You want to leave a legacy. Everyone wants to leave a legacy. So when you get married, you think to yourself, oh my gosh, this is a reminder that I'm going to die, and I don't live forever. So how do I ensure that my legacy lives forever? I have children, and my legacy continues to my children. L'chein Hayimakam Levarech Dayanu Emes. He thinks that's pshat in this Or Shraga. Why would you say Dayanu Emes? Because it reminds you of Yom HaMisa, which is in essence a sad day, and that's why perhaps one would recite such a brach. Okay. The Chassam Sofer has a tshuva where he deals with this shayla. He was really dealing with a different shayla. He was asked, why when a woman goes to the mikveh for the first time before the chasana, doesn't she recite a shachiyanu? That's a pretty big deal. She never goes to the mikveh before this. The first time she's doing a tevilas mitzvah. Why doesn't she make a shachiyanu? So we touched upon this perhaps in the last series when we did Halakas Neiros. There's a discussion, should girls recite shachiyanu the first time they light Neiros after they get married? It's the first time they're doing a mitzvah. Maybe they should make a shachiyanu. So here the Chassam Sofer was addressing a different child. The first time a girl goes to the mikveh, before the chasana, perhaps she should say shachiyanu. So in the middle of that tshuva, he brings back our shayla of why don't you make a shachiyanu under the chuppah? And he writes like this. He quotes the Ma'arik. Ma'arik writes, "Shetzarech yishuv." I mean, you have to answer. Shloi levarach shachiyanu al kedusha yishuv nesun ve'niach davar b'loy tam. And the Ma'arik does not give a good reason. And I'm telling you, you look up the Ma'arik, he does not give you a reason. He just says, this is another example of one of those mitzvahs that you don't have a shachiyanu. And then the Chassam Sofer gives another pshat. He writes, "Ubesimul chadosh esimul chavches kosev atam kemoish kosev avudraham." He gives another standard reason why. Kol mitzvah detluyi b'das acherim. Right, the famous Rajba. Why is it no mitzvah on stock? Why is it no bracha? Because maybe the only won't accept it. So says the lechem, the simul chadashi here also. What are you going to do? The husband's going to be under the chuppah. He's going to make a beautiful shachiyanu. And the girl runs out. So you need another person to agree. So tanya, the simul chadashi, the reason why we don't make a shachiyanu, because it's tluyi b'das acherim. So the Chassam Sofer takes an issue with this. The Chassam Sofer says, I don't like this pshat because we know that there's machloikis rishonim. We spoke about this in the Sunday morning share quite a while ago. There's machloikis rishonim. What's the order of the brachas? Are they oivel asiyasan by the brachas erisim? So one of the tzadim in the rishonim is they're not oivel asiyasan because who says shall agree? So therefore we do it afterwards. So says the Chassam Sofer, so here also. After you put the ring on her finger and she agrees, so they say shachanu then. This is not a reason not to say it at all. This is perhaps a reason to delay the shachiyanu. And this is the same kash you can ask on the Rajba. So after the yoni does agree to take your money, so say the shachiyanu then. So the Chassam Sofer rejects this pshat. But listen to this pshat from the Chassam Sofer. It's an unbelievable insight to how the Chassam Sofer perceives shaduchim. Says the Chassam Sofer, Vula yesh leimar, I think that the idea is right, but for a different reason. And this is really blew my mind. Ki onu mevarchem l'Kadosh Baruch Hu shegiyanu l'zman hazeh liknos kli chadash. Why do we make a shachar to Kadosh Baruch Hu? Because I got to buy a new purchase. Or lehenes b'chadash. I got a new fruit. Now it sounds like from the Chassam Sofer is not assuming that the shachiyanu on the wife would be machmas the mitzvah of kedushin. I mean, there's two reasons why you would make a shachiyanu on a purchasing a wife. It's either because it's a mitzvah, or because it's a new purchase. It's no different than buying a car, buying a house, right? It's a new purchase. So Dr. Chassam Sofer, there's a difference between buying a new wife and buying these objects. Why? I'm giving you guys great Sheva Brachos Torah all right here. Between this and the Halachas Katanas, they'll never ask you to speak at the Sheva Brachos again. So you might say this.
The purchase doesn't talk back to you.
That's not what he says, but I'll leave that to you. Ki anu zman atzmoy. I'm thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you gave me a beautiful gift. Right? You gave me a yomtif, you gave me a purchase, you gave me a gift. It's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is the Chassam Sofer style, is he always throws in psukim and hidden things that we're supposed to know all of Tanakh to understand what he's talking about over there. But the idea is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you things, and we appreciate it. But things that need another party and other person's consent and will, Hashem does not change a person's will. If not for this girl wanting to marry you and you wanting to marry her, HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot get involved. Now this obviously is a big discussion in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's involvement, and I'm not...
What does it mean by
Hashem? Yeah. We'll get to that in a second. So, Zakhtar Chassam Sofer, it's different. You would have not gotten this purchase if not for Hashem giving it to you. This wife is not like that. He says, don't start asking me, what do you mean? The Gemara says, the 40 days, the Vlad, it's announced who's marrying to who. Zakhtar Chassam Sofer, don't ask me about these things. V'arizal, Pirush Acha Nocha, in Kamakayim, there's another way of understanding that Gemara. So basically saying, I don't believe in the Bashert system. It's not only a Kadosh Baruch Hu. There is human involvement as well. Therefore says, Chassam Sofer, in the Baruch Hu. You were destined to get this gift. The question would just be, who's the giver? You're going to get it either way, says Chassam Sofer. The person who gave it is merely a shlich. But we're not going to say, well, you would have gotten married. No. If you wanted to get married to this girl, it was only because this girl agreed to you. Except for, and this. It's an unbelievable Chassam Sofer. It's Mamash Gevaldik. So he therefore says, Mashaykin Kedushim Nesun Avagav De Biyad HaKadosh Baruch Hu Azmo Shem Yishachers. Hashem can send you another girl. Mikomokim Ein Levar Shachin Al Ziva Guf Zeh. This type of a Ziva, this type of a girl, is not looked as only HaKadosh Baruch Hu's involvement. If anyone else would write this, they'd be called a Kaifer and be thrown out of town. The Chassam Sofer was able to get away with it. Zog the Chassam Sofer, that's why there's no Shachin. Okay?
We say it on Yom Tov, it's the Sanhedrin who determines.
Right. So that he'll tell you, because that's going to happen either. We're going to have Yom Tov because that's destined. But something like this is not destined. You're not going to marry necessarily this girl. You would have married perhaps a different girl. You only married this girl because she agreed to you. And you met her and you went on a date. And you know. Gevaldige insight from the Chassam Sofer. There were those who did make a Shachiyanu under the Chuppah. If you look at Moruk Tzir, Rabbi Yaakov Emden, now you have to remember, Rabbi Yaakov Emden got married 3 times. His first Shidduch, he wrote an autobiography, and he writes in his book, he did not want to marry his first wife. He was forced into it by his father, he did not like her, wasn't into the relationship, and they ultimately got divorced. So listen to what he writes. With that background, you can appreciate a little bit more of Rabbi Yaakov Emden's writing over here in the Sefer Moruk Tzir. So he writes, Valo Isha Nira, Shemi Isha Haguna Hi. She's a befitting wife. Fada Yishlem Levarach Shachyon. That doesn't mean an Isha Haguna. So he writes, "I mishum kiyam mitzvah." So he bavorns, why should you say shachianu over a wife? So either because you're getting a mitzvah, biyichud imhi rishayin, specifically if she's your first wife, v'i mishum toligar miriyas chaver the al muachav of life. No different than seeing a good friend that you haven't seen in a long time. Avulim einay hagenis, but if she's not befitting for you, ein tzarch loymer bepsulim mishpacha iprutza. I'm not talking about she's a girl you shouldn't be marrying for halachic reasons. You're a kohen and you're trying to marry a grusha. Or she's a prutza, she misbehaves. You don't like her. You don't think she's pretty. You're not attracted to her. Rakshinosan ain't of bimaman. You married her for her money. Vade ain't levarachlum. Definitely no reason to make such a brach. So again, I gave you that introduction because Rabbi Yaakov Emden knew what it meant to go into a relationship where your heart wasn't really there. So Rabbi Yaakov Emden says if you're only marrying her for her money, then he thinks you definitely shouldn't make such a brach.
The kafah. Why only the first one?
What?
Why only the first one?
Because I guess that's the one you're going to do the mitzvah, may have kids with, maybe.
Or the first time.
So I guess he's right, because I guess you did the mitzvah. You ready? Right. So there's different types of mitzvahs that are cycled mitzvahs that we have a cycle. We do it every once a year, and then the mitzvah we do once in a lifetime. Big shiloh comes up in the pesukim. The first time a boy puts on tefillin, does he make it a big discussion? So that's also a discussion. The Shach talks about that. He talks about tzitzis.
Put out cotton
naked? No. The first day he becomes a gadol. Whatever. He makes a shachianu. First time he did a mitzvah. Do we say, is it every first time mitzvah you make a shachianu? That's part of the discussion, which Chassam Sofer is discussing with a lady going to the mikvah. The Kaf HaChaim writes, I don't know if Sfarim do this, he writes about the Shailo, number 9, he says, Alo Isha Imagunohi V'chavivala. If she's proper and you love her, I guess he's bavarning the Rabbi Yaakov Emden's issue. Because of Amorik Tzia, Dafilu Anigmaru HaShaduchin, once the Shidduch is done, even before you get married, you're engaged, you're going to go through with it. Roy Levarach Shachyanu. He's saying once you get engaged, you can make it a shechianu. Forget. Again, engagement means nothing in Judaism. Our engagement is halachic, nothing, zero. Right? So he's saying even then you can make it a shechianu. And then when it comes to the actual marriage, even the lady makes the shechianu, says the Kaf HaChaim. Not just the man. They view Shekats of Shalom, bunch of people that say you don't make it. So he ends up saying at the end, you know what you should do? Buy a new baguette and make the bracha on the new suit and have the shechianu on the new suit to go on the marriage also. And he writes at the end, the efsher yeshiva shechianu hachasin v'akala v'avi hachasin v'avi akala, through the grandparents under the bus there also. Grandparents should also make the shechianu, says the Kaf HaChaim. Okay. I don't think anyone makes a shechian on the Sfardim. So when they get the talis, so I think sometimes you make a shechian on the talis. So that really works. Because the shechian on the talis will go on the Nisuan as well. But lamaisa, the minhag ha'olam is that we don't make a shechian, but next time you're at a chuppah and you want to make a conversation with the guy next to you, ask him, hey, by the way, why is there no shechian under a chuppah? So let's talk about the ring. One of the fundamental points of the chasana is the ring. What can you possibly talk about the ring? So the Ramah writes in Shulchan Aruch number 10, that v'chein noigim lekadosh b'tabas. The minhag today is that we always are mekadosh with the ring. We all know the Mishnah says in Kedushin there's three modes you can use to marry a woman. There's kesef, shtar, and bia. So the Gemara already says in Kedushin we stop doing bia. It's not tznius. Shtar, still a viable option. And then there's kedusha kesef. Kedusha kesef means anything that's either kesef or shava kesef. You can give her a dollar bill, you can give her a check, you can give her a table, you can give her anything. Kesef or shava kesef. So why is it that we give a ring? Give her $5. Give her a check. Give her your credit card numbers, right? Why is it that we would have to use a ring? So the Ramah writes, the minhag is to use a ring. It's pointed out by Achrayim that if you look through all the Gemaras and all the Mishnayos, you will cannot find no mention of using a ring as a mode of Kedushin. It's not discussed. The Gemaras don't talk about it, the Mishnayos don't talk about it. Even the Rishayim don't talk about it. Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam, they also don't talk about using a ring. So the Ramah, who lived in the late 1500s, is commenting that the minhag is today to use a ring, and he writes, why? V'yesh lohem tam b'tikuni azoya. It's based on azoya. The reason why B'chol Tfutzas Yisrael today we use a ring is because of a Zoya. Very interesting idea. Only post to using it, right? Otherwise you say the Kesef Zeh, whatever you're using, right? So I found a sefer called Eidus LiYisrael about in Yoni Chasana, and he did some investigative work of so when did we start switching over to rings? So he writes over here in number 11, when did we start? He says, it's hard to know for sure. He thinks it was sometimes around the end of Abayi Sheni was when they switched over to using rings. Interesting historical piece of information. And then he quotes over here that he thinks it was a difference between Bavel and Eretz Yisrael. He writes, Lefizeh he minig Eretz Yisrael. He thinks it was an Israeli thing to use the ring. In Bavel, they weren't using rings. He says, the Marshal discusses the difference between the Minhag and Eretz Yisrael and Bavel, and he writes, because of Shomlin Yanenu, B'nai Eretz Yisrael wrote in Tabas Kedushin, and Eretz Yisrael they used to use the ring. B'nai Bavel ain't it right. Tabas Kedushin and Bavel, they never used the ring. They used money, coins, whatever they used. So this was more of an Eretz Yisrael movement to start using the idea of the ring. The question is, so why do we use a ring? What's wrong with giving her cash? So they based it on the Sefer HaChinuch.
But let me just say a simple story. She's got no place to put it. It's nice and simple.
Put it in her hand. She's clean it. And she gives it, like she does with the ksuba. Gives it to her mother. Yeah, so that's, we'll get to that. So if I haven't given you yet enough Sheva Brachas material, you got to read the Sefer HaChinuch and Mitzvah Tov Kuf Nun Beis. People, when they quote the Sefer HaChinuch, they quote the second half. We're going to quote the whole Sefer HaChinuch. He writes like this. He's talking about the mitzvah of marriage. Parshas Ki Tzitzit. Mishor she'a mitzvah she'tzivanu ha'tayu la'asiz ma'isa bi'isha, yoyre inya zivugim terim yishkavima, to show a relationship before you just live with her. We don't just take a woman and live with her. You want to show an act of building some form of relationship. Part of the marriage is that she needs to realize she belongs to this man, and she's not allowed to go anywhere else. She's not allowed to rebel in him. And she needs to show him honor and respect. Ke'eved la'adoinov. I'm telling you, ke'eved la'adoinov, zok to say for HaChinuch. Ubechein. They should live in happiness forever. You should make a Kodesh Baruch Hu happy. Says the Sefer Chinuch, now that I just explained to you what the beauty of marriage is, you know why we give her a ring? So she shall walk around with that reminder for the rest of her life. Even though she can use a shavah pruta, she walks around with that thing on her finger, which reminds her what? She's an eved la'adonov. That's what he said, right? That's exactly the Sefer Chinuch. So the reason why we give a ring, says the Sefer Chinuch, is to be a reminder that you're in a relationship. I would say it a little nicer. The idea of the ring is she walks around her entire life with a reminder that she is in a relationship. That's the beauty of the ring. That's why. What? Because according to him, the whole essence of the relationship is a one-sided relationship. That she's Meshubad, and she can't go anywhere. He could. So that's why he only goes one way. But the see, it's amazing. If you see people quote, they only quote the second half of the Chinuch. Oh, we wear a ring to remind the beauty of marriage. They don't quote the first half of the Sefer Chinuch, or that she reminds herself that she is somewhat bound into this relationship. But that's the minute today is we're Mekadosh with ring. But Avada, if a man would be Mekadosh Shalei with any other mode of value, Avada, the Chasana, the Kedusha would still be Chal. What type of ring should you use to be Mekadosh a lady? So the Mordechai writes in Kedushin, Nogu ha'om lekadosh b'tabash al zahav. The minig is to use a gold ring. Beloy even yukar b'soicher. That has no fancy stones in it. Why? B'shem deroiv b'nei adam einem b'kiyim b'shuma. Every Masada tells every chassan, get a simple, simple ring. Why? You don't want to use any ring that has any stones in it because we don't know how much the stones are worth. And there's a achshash that the woman's getting married because she's anticipating that this rock that she's about to get is worth a lot of money. And lo and behold, it's not. And we don't want any of those issues. So we ask that you give her the simplest ring that has nothing in it, no hidden diamonds or gems. Yeah, she only thought she's only marrying you because she saw a big diamond going on her finger. She thought that, and it really was just your great-grandmother's ring. It's worth, you know, 10 cents. So that's why the minhag is you try to give a plain ring. But right over there, the minhag is to give a gold ring. A tabas shel zahav. I don't know. I thought it was always silver. I always thought it was silver, right? So someone told me, no, they give gold. I said, yeah, you could. But I thought today people use silver. So if you look in the Sefer Shulchan Ezer, he writes, Ki aminig b'chol amadinos b'chol tfutzis Yisrael. Everyone uses gold. That little engagement ring, which costs nothing, it's very cheap, right? That is supposed to be plain and simple, says the Mordechai made out of gold. The Levush Mordechai quotes from the Rav Mordechai Benet, that when Rav Mordechai Benet married off his son, he changed it. He thought it should go back to being silver. Why should it be silver? So he says, Alom Dushataina. He says, why? Because where do we learn out Kedusha Kesef from? Kicha Kicha, Mr. Ephraim. So he says, "Oviv davki shiya tabas kudushal kesef davka vadi b'poshet kavanosag neshikach nichta b'kra kicha kicha v'sham nek v'sham kama kesef." So over there, what was the effort? It was shekel kesef. So if you want to be honest with the gzeir shav, kicha kicha, it should be kesef. Again, from a halachic standpoint, it does not matter as long as it has value. Silver, gold, whatever else, but it should be plain. It should not have any form of stones in it. Rabbi Moshe Sternberg brings a minug in Eretz Yisrael. He writes number 16. Ube Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Mikachin, Bitabaz Shal Kesef. They use silver. Ogul, it's round. Bifnim, Umeruba Bechutz. And it's square on the outside. I have never seen such a ring. I never heard of such a minug. He quotes it from the Ben Ish Chai, that it's a school of Neflah Shetoyle Leibonim. It's a school to have children. He quotes it from the Munkach Rebbe also, that that was the Kabbalah amongst the, at least the Munkach Chassidim. And he writes, Rak tzorich le'edil le'mikredim shebekach b'tabas kazu. You have to let her know that this is the ring for the marriage. Av shekulim regilim b'tabas of regil. Even though all the other girls are getting gold ones, this is the ring for the marriage, and everyone has to be on the same page. The first thing is, every Masada the Kedushin asks the boy, is, do you have a ring? When I went to speak to my Rebbe of Kalman Epstein, who's been Masada many, many times, when I was once Masada al-Chassan, I said, what do I need to know? What's the most important thing you have to know? He said, make sure the Chassan has the ring on him. I said, that's it? I thought you were going to tell me some Geshmak HaChidushim. He said, I can tell you how many Chassans I've been to, where they get down the aisle, and they're waiting, and the Chassan, the Rebbe, the Masada says, where's the ring? He starts it, but no one knows where the ring is. He forgot it, he left it, this, that, and the other. So the most important thing is that the Chassan has to have the ring on him before he walks down the aisle. Okay. Then the next question is, whose ring is it? So the Beis Shmuel writes in Simen Chav Ches, he writes that it's the Masada's job to ask the Chassan, do you own the ring? He writes, Kvar Poshet HaMinig L'Kaddish, but he says over here, because the Shulchan Aruch Pasuk is based on the Rosh, you're not allowed to be Mekaddish with a borrowed ring. Let's say the boy walks down the aisle and he realizes he has a ring. So his aunt sits in the aisle and says, here, take my ring. So that's a borrowed ring. So the Shulchan Aruch says you can't be mekadesh with a borrowed ring. However, the Shulchan Aruch does suggest, based on the Rosh, that if, let's say, for example, the lender knows that you want to use the ring to make a kedushin, so then there's rules and regulations, perhaps, how to make it work. But we want to stay clear of anything borrowed. We want you to own it. So he writes, Al kuponim kol ha-misad de kedushin tzorech lizor l'shoel l'sachosin matabas sholoyi imishal shoel ha-tabas. The first question the misad has to ask the boy is this your ring? So now, if the boy is a shtekalam, he's going to say, I don't know. My father bought it. Is it really mine? It's not mine. I don't know. So that's the shadow we need to get to. It's always the lumbish guys that get us into trouble. So the Aruch HaShulchan says, so let's say you didn't buy it. Let's say someone gifted you the ring. So the Masada says to you, is it your ring? He says, I don't know. I got it as a gift. So the Aruch HaShulchan says, no problem. Very simple. Take the ring, pick it up to Tvachim. Have that to be kind, and now it's your ring. So let's say your father buys you the ring. So your father says, here, Tatala, here's the ring. You take the ring, you make me a gimel tefach, and now it's your ring. You're good to go. No problem. Says Rav Moshe Steinbach, no, I have a problem with this also. What's the problem with this? If you look at number 20, we'll come back to number 19 in a second. Rav Moshe Steinbach says, I have a problem with this. He says, Yisi novuch tomid. I was always a little disturbed. What happens? The father gives the son a ring. He pays for everything else at a chasana. So he buys him the ring. This kid is completely samech al shulchanot. The kid makes no money on his own. Who really is the father really giving the son the ring? No, the father saying, here's a ring so you can be poyel chalos kedushin. So he argues, what would happen if this son decides, you know what, dad, I'm going to take this ring, I'm going to sell it, and then I'm going to get money and I'm going to buy my own ring. He thinks you're not allowed to. The son doesn't own it. He has no bailim on it. He has bailim just to give it under the chuppah. So that's not bailus. It's not his ring. It's really dad's ring, and dad's basically pulling the strings of the ring and telling someone what to do with it. That's not ownership. So Tanya Rav Moshe Steinbach, how does this ever work? So he says,
why is it any different than what you say in the Ksuva about he has farness law? He's not doing a farness anything. This guy's not going to work.
No, he has a chiyuv. To where he gets the money from is a different issue. Well, there's no din in the Ksuva that has to be lechem. By tabas or kedushin, you have to own the ring. By Ksuva means you have to get the money to her. So, means I'm going to make sure you don't. I'm going to make sure you have steak and iced coffees every single day. How do I get the money? That's my part. The only time you need lechem is here for the tabas. It's got to be your ring. So if it's not my ring, it's my father's ring. It doesn't work. So he writes v'yesh etzab shuta. Obviously, we all came to the same conclusion. Sha'av yoyim levnoi b'mefurish tabas shalchal gamri. So dad should say to his son, listen, I know the sugya. So I'm telling you, I'm giving you the ring completely. It's yours. Belev shalom. If you want to sell and get a different one, I have no problem with that. And then he writes at the end. He says even without that, he thinks it's not a problem because the father wants to make sure the son has it anyway, so he doesn't think it's an issue. In the Sefer Chuppas Chasanim over here, he brings down a shaila. He quotes from the Maram Mintz. The Maram Mintz writes, "Sheyesh lizor shetabas tiyesh al chosin." We know that the ring has to belong to the chosin. Then a chosin narve aviv shom. Let's say the boy is young. So then you have to ask the dad under the chuppa. Dad, did you properly transfer bialas to the son? The time and the reason is Mishum Shamakadish Ishaba Mamma Khaverin Mukadeshis. This is the only time it's gotta really be yours. If dad didn't transfer Bailus properly to the son, it's not the son's ring. The Kedushin is Mamash not Khal. People don't realize this. Then he quotes over here from Reb Chaim Palaji. He thought not. He thought that Filus Faras Apoiskim Asom Shmatonish and Avlamna Asama Khoshon Loikona. Even if dad normally gives a gift to a son or Sama Khoshon, it's like giving from your left pocket to your right pocket. Over here, there's a specific das that the father wants you to have it because he wants to be able to have a chasana. Right? The father knows he spent all this money for there to be a chasana. If after all this money spent time and effort planning, I forgot to give you the ring because in Bailas I didn't transfer it, the father wouldn't want that. So therefore, he assumes you don't have to worry. But Lamaisa, we try that if a father's going to buy the son the ring, so the best thing is that the father should be makted to him, b'leif shalom. The son should then make a nice kinyan on the ring. This way, the ring belongs completely to the son. They asked Rabbi Belsky the Shaila number 21, the Sefer Shulchan Alevi. Chosin shekidish is a kalab etabas. Ulaachar chobin noidi ki etabas lo hoisi shaloi. It never belonged to him. Ma'adin. So he writes, Ima chosin lo yose kinyin nochem etabas. If the chosin never really made a kinyin on it, which is a little hard to believe. He put it in his hand. He walked with it. He picked it up. Rabbi Shavai is going to say that in a second. How did you not make a kinyin with it?
Maybe
he didn't have das. So he didn't have das to be kinyin. But so he writes over here, Lo yismuchal pulpulim v'yasu b'tzina kedushin shneim bli brach. He said, don't be so lomdish, make another kedushin. Make a second kedushin without brachas. V'zeh echem en advarim shetarach harav ha-mesadah dachtik bo. These are one of the things the mesadah needs to know. L'shoyel ha-sachosin v'atabas shemekadosh bo hishalei. You gotta ask, is it really your ring? So if the boy says, yeah, I went to the store yesterday, I bought it, I paid for it, I was kain it, fine. V'eich kain oisoy, how was he kain it? V'yishmu eidim. If, let's say, for example, the Masada doesn't like what he hears, so right now, let's do it right. Tell the boy, take the ring, pick it up, that's Mikaina, and let's make sure the ring really belongs to the boy.
Does the Kala need to do Masakana?
No. The Kala does very little. She's pretty active. She's pretty passive when it comes. When we learned the Sugyas in Kedushin, we saw that she doesn't even have to answer yes. In the Gaisha world, you ask, will you marry me? She has to respond yes. In our world, you don't even ask, we don't even answer yes. Her passiveness is just to accept the ring. All she does is she sticks her hand out, you slip the ring on it, that's assumed that she agrees to get married. She doesn't have to say yes, she doesn't have to say anything. She doesn't say anything, she doesn't even talk.
So who owns the ring?
What?
Who owns
After he puts it on her finger, that belongs to her. Now, it doesn't have to go on her finger, you can put it in her palm also. For the same price if he puts it in her palm, or even if he throws it onto her dress, and that's chatzar kaina. That's the whole eighth parak of Gittin that we learned about a while ago. But the minig is we put it on her finger. We put it on this finger, the finger right next to the thumb.
Would this be a fly that one could later on say was an annulment?
It wouldn't be a kedushin. Yeah, we're going to get to a story that happened like that in a second, a real story. Rabbi Asher Weiss, only Rabbi Asher Weiss gets these types of shailas. Of a real story where there was a mistake in the ownership of the ring and it really makes the Kedushin invalid. So they asked Rabbi Asher Weiss, a similar shaila that they asked Rabbi Belsky, Chosin Sha'aviv Koines et Abbas, the father bought the ring, V'achosin lo yosef b'kid yinak b'alaf ne'kedushin. He never lifted up the ring. He never did the Aruch HaShulchan's lift. He'im chalwa Kedushin. This was the kasha presented to Rabbi Asher Weiss. So Rabbi Asher writes, this is found in Milchas Asher, Shas and Shuvas Chelik Beis. So Rabbi Asher writes like this, Lo Yivantes HaShayla, I'm almost don't get the question. Hayim him Rishum She'en Kan Maise Kinyan, what are you worried about? That he was never did an act of Kinyan, or that the son never had Das to be Kinyan? What's bothering you? So he says, Im an needed who Maise Kinyan, if you were that the kid never picked it up, how will it tzarech klas a Kinyan Akbo? He doesn't have to lift it up. Talo hu Kinyan Biyad. There's another thing called Kinyan Yad, things that are in your hand are also Kinyan. So this ring had to at some point be in his hand, was in his pocket, that's his chotzer. So what are you worried about? So he says, the choldover cotton sha'ad machzik b'sech yad kinyan b'shem yad. You only need a lift of something if you can't fit it in your palm. A ring goes right into the palm of your hand. I can't put a table in my hand, so I lift up the table, and now I'm clear of the table. Zokta b'asher Weiss, the ring goes in your palm, no problems. He says, well, you're telling me maybe there's a problem of das kinyan. The boy didn't know anything. The boy doesn't know anything. He never learned in yeshiva. His father says, here, son, I bought your ring. Great. He takes the ring and gives it to the girl. He thinks he gave the girl dad's ring. And my father was so nice. He buys me everything. He buys me a ring also. I never doubt to be kind of the ring. Now, we know you can't own things if you don't want to own them. So if the boy was never had das to be kind of the ring, how does the ring belong to him? So says Rabbi Shalais, what happened to Zachal Adam Shalai Bafanov? What happened to Das Acheres Machnoisei? If I have das to give it to you, that works. But there has to at least das, one person has to have das. So if the Machna has the das, Dr. Rashi Weiss, that's going to be okay. But now listen to this doozy of a shaila that Rashi Weiss brings up. This is, I'm telling you, if I did not read it, I would think it's not true. He writes this in number 23. The story came from Lakewood. Boy gets married on Thursday night. He buys the ring, he makes a kinyan, he takes with him into the mikvah, he does everything right. Before the chuppah, he tells his sister, can you do me a favor, can you hold on to the ring? You know, we're going to go to the badekin, I don't want to lose it. He gives it to his sister, and his sister gives it back to him under the chuppah. Fine. For some strange reason, his sister must have put his ring on her finger, and when it was time to give it back, she took off her ring and gave it to her brother. So under the chuppah, the brother takes the ring, gives it to the girl, thinking this is his ring, and lo and behold, it was his sister's ring. Okay, says Rabbi Asher Weiss, what was the story? The Ekev Kach Kiddush Achasas Ishtei B'Tabas Shohise Shal Choise. He used his sister's ring. Hadvarim Nisbaru Rak L'Mochras Achre Achasana B'Lil Shabbos Kiddush. Friday night, the Shabbos Shabbos Brachas, everyone's sitting around the table talking, and they realize, oh my gosh, the ring that you used to be Mekadosh, your wife, was a ring that really belonged to your sister. So now we have a whole slew of problems. Are they married or are they not married? And Imtim Tzolomis, why didn't you just take to Adam? It's Shabbos. The Moses and Shulchan Aruch, you're not allowed to make chasana on Shabbos. So you're telling me, be machmer. Be machmer what? Where are these two going to go? They're not allowed to be miachid. They're engaged. They're back to being engaged. Now, what happens if they had beer last night? What's the status of that beer?
Why can't you be coming with that beer?
Ah, that's one of the issues that Moshe Weiss suggests, one of his possibilities. And what are you going to tell all the people who show up tomorrow for Shabbos Shavu Brachas? Oh, sorry, there's no Shavu Brachas. Go home. We can't make Shavu Brachas. It's all Brachas of Atalas. I'm a real, real doozy dikashayla. That's the shayla that was presented. So Rabbi Moshe Weiss writes in the Tshuva that many Rabbanim suggested that Takas. Now this seems to be a no-brainer. This should be a problem. The ring did not belong to him. Even in the case where the dad gives you the ring, you have Das Acheres Machne. There's no Das Acheres. She never planned on giving you her ring. She never knew it was her ring. So this L'chaira should be the worst situation where there is no marriage. So you got to do everything again. Not only do you have to do everything, L'chaira, you have to rewrite the Ksuba. Because the Ksuba was dated yesterday to when the marriage took place supposedly yesterday. So what do you do now? Now you're presented with a Zashayla. What do you do?
So the father has a Das in order to give it whatever kin you need, because I don't want to redo it.
Ah, okay.
He's going to say, listen, I blew it. But Lamais, it's a similar ring. So, I want to make sure that I have
So Rabbi Weiss has three possibilities to why he thinks there's Mokum to be Mekel, and we'll see what he passes at the end of that anyways. So he starts off like this. V'nech Zenon, let's address this Shaila. First question was, is the Kedushin valid? Was the chassan actually kaina the ring that his sister gave him? This should be a simple shayla. There's no das to sell. There's no das to give. There's no das to acquire. They each think it's theirs. This should be the worst case scenario. So Rabbi Shawai says he's mitzayin to look up a tshuva from Rabbi Moshe Sternbach. What's the tshuva from Rav Moshe Sternbach? So I photocopied it. He writes, Rav Moshe Sternbach comes up with the following. If you've ever been to a chasana now, you'll notice a new phenomenon, which is relatively new. At least what I've been told by reliable people, is that under the chuppah, when they moisture the ksuba from the husband to the wife, they make the edim watch it. They make the edim kedushim watch the transfer of the ksuba from the man to the lady. The question is, why? Why on earth do you need to have edim for the mesira ksuba? What? Most stories you don't need edim mesira. Right, usually we assume Eidei Chasima, like by a get, you just have the Eidim sign. So why do we have Eidim watching it? So I was told this is a new phenomenon that started by relatively new movement. But he writes over from the Brisker Rav, which is also, not 500 years ago. So he writes over the Brisker Rav, Taira Reshtekel Taira. Unbelievable. He says, number 24, Shehik b'shachos yimtza aksuba l'kal l'fnei Eidim, u'b'tshuvas ha'goyinim atzotzi shemoy l'aksuba gam kein l'kedushin. Somehow the ksuba can be a backup kedushin.
You mean al-shtar?
Al-shtar. Because since you write over the Hava Leila Intui, you write, I want her to be my wife. It's got those words in there. So therefore, Zakh the Brisker Rav, since the Shtar can be a backup Kedushin definitely needs Eidim, there's no question. So therefore, Zakh the Moshe Sternbach, that's why the minig evolved that we always have Eidim. He quotes of him the Archas Chaim, V'hainu shim yesh psol b'kedushin, ozeh hashtar ksuba moyel kedushin. It'll be a built-in backup. Shiesh b'hanosach l'havi lishta, you have the words there. And he writes, that's maybe why it is. Moshe Sternbach doesn't love it. First of all, when we learned the sugya is in Sunday morning, we brought up a shayla, is Reb Kvege deals with a shayla. If I want to be kind of something with Kenyan A, and Kenyan A doesn't work, but by accident I did Kenyan B, does that still work? It's a whole discussion in Reb Kvege. That's very negay over here. I guarantee you, if you ask this chassid under the chuppah, were you thinking Kedusha Shtar? He's going to say, absolutely not. He's going to think this was Kedusha Kesef. So there's a shayla for Kenyan Shaloi Moyel, if I did A and A doesn't work, but lo and behold, I accidentally did Kenyan B. Does that work? So obviously the Brisker Rav. So the ksuba could also be talked, well, that's a shayla. If you can use the Shtar, that's a discussion in the Gemara. Can the Shtar also function as Shavaprut and be a Kenyan Kesef? So this is the Brisker Rav. So Rav Moshe Sternbach doesn't like it. So Rav Moshe Weiss says, well, maybe we can be samech on this b'di'evit to save this couple that's sitting here Friday night at the Shabbos Shabbat Brachas, all a bed out of shape. Maybe we can be samech on this Brisker Rav. He doesn't love it. Then he suggests a second possibility. Why can't we default that Bia can be the Kedushin also? Now again, you're going to have the same kasha. I guarantee you this chosin under the chuppah, this chosin when he got married, he never thought I'd be Mekadosh and Isha b'Bia. Now, I'll just from a practical point, not all couples, especially the Chassan, end up actually having a bia or consummating the marriage, so that you don't have that either. Just that's a side point. But that's where Rav Moshe Weiss suggests also. Maybe you should be mekel on kedusha bia, even though the Gemara says, we don't use kedusha bia, and maybe we can just because of the situation. Then let's see what he finally passes. The number 26, he writes, Mikom mokom nearly fi kol anal the safik yeshkan. And then he says, one second, if you're going to make another marriage, it's Shabbos. So he concludes, Kivish Isser Kedushi B'Shabbos Ein El Shvos. The whole Isser to get married on Shabbos is only Nisid Rabbanon. Shema Yichtoiv. You may come to write. Nir Lod in the Sofik de Rabbon Lakula. Ukadei Limnoi Agmas Nefesh Gedoil Ubezoyin Godul. Shein Kamoisoi. You can't get a bigger embarrassment than this. Sheitzarech Lifosh Meishtoi. She's the Athan Asuva Loga Vesachi. You're going to have to split up the night of the second night you're married. Vivat was a Sheva Brochet. Vesichu Bem Yeshva Shar Veshutte Hesheicher. It's going to be a hack of the town. So Rabbi Moshe Weiss passed the halacha ma'aseh, take another two edim, give another ring, and do it again. What about the ksuba? Well, the gabi haksuba yeshlich to ksuba chadasha. You got to write a new ksuba. Now, I don't know when he thinks you're going to write this new ksuba, because if it's already Shabbos now, he's going to be matar amil and write another ksuba also. I don't know.
It,
but you're not allowed to live together. What? Can't be together. So I don't know about that. So he writes yesh. He says the yesh chash muktam b'ksuba. It might be a problem with muktam because the date is a date earlier than they actually got married. They really got married on Shabbos. This couple can tell their kids, we are probably the only marriage in Klal Yisrael in the last 500 years that got married on a Shabbos because the Ramah already banned it. He says, "Umeshum kach poshli di ilo yisi sham." Says the Rashi, "If I was there in Lakewood, ha yisi mayri liyachet shnei edim, I would say take two edim v'achosi yikalish shuv b'fneim b'lo Shabbos kodesh b'zeh poshut." As they paskins or Rashi Weiss halacha lemaisa, that's what you should do. So you got to be careful. The tabas plays. I would say the most important part of the entire Leil Chasana is that little tabas. That is the most important part of it. Without that, nothing goes. You need to make sure the tabas belongs to the chassan. The chassan has to make sure it's his. He has to make sure he's using it properly. That's the only way to properly be able to be part of the chalais kedusha. Without that, there is no marriage. Okay. I think next week we'll get back to